And there's a group of new members around, and we're all feel very much at home, amen? Brother Mark and Brother John said he's been a member a lot longer than I have. By a few minutes, he said. These young ones, gotta watch them. But anyway, no, it is good. Good to be here and good to be with the Lord's people. And those two songs we had just then were quite applicable to tonight's message. For we are looking at a great crisis in the New Testament. I don't know whether I've turned this thing at the right. Have I switched it? Is it on there? Good. See those sound men? They always like to give preachers a hard time. Yeah. All right, go please to Exodus chapter number 14. Chapter 14. Well, I shouldn't have said number there. Brother Weston didn't like that. Adult class. Chapter 14, please, of the book of Exodus. And here Moses has written an amazing account of what happened when the Lord was leading them out of Egypt. And when we take up the reading here in chapter 14 and 10, we are in a crisis situation. I don't think we need to stop and think about the crisis situation that we are in the world at the moment. And so many lives on the brink of eternity with the virus. Victoria having to go into stage 4 of lockdown, where the people haven't got the attitude to try and stop the spread of a nasty and deadly infection. But we find here in this book of Exodus, in this situation, we find a real crisis, one of the crises of the Bible. Christ is the Christ of the crises. The Lord is able in the crises of life. So we take it up here in verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Israel, in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That is a most amazingly weird statement for the people of God to make. I don't know what they were thinking. We see that they blame Moses for their crisis, and if that's not enough, then they want to return. It would be better that we should die in Egypt, they say, that we serve the Egyptians and die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Praise God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. And they're right on the brink of a crisis and a miracle. It's an amazing thing how God then took them through the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea, and took them through in victory. And then foolish Pharaoh and the Egyptians went into the depths of that Red Sea and were wiped out. God judged them. We see here this is certainly a crisis. And I want to point out that their first response was to blame the man of God. Oh, how this is a vicious thing when the people of God blame the man of God for their difficulties and the problems that they may have found themselves in. It's a sad thing, and then bitterness can easily set in. And sadly, in doing that, they were not listening to the voice of the Lord. They were crying out to God because of the Egyptians, but they weren't listening to what God had to say. And Moses had to still them. Be still and know that I am God. They'd lost sight of God in the matter. As you look at Moses in this particular incident, you're amazed at his calmness, his poise and his strength to stand in a difficult time. And that's what we need as the men of God and the people of God in this difficult time, to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And look around, and some of the news media is making quids out of this thing with all the negativism and all the rest of it, showing death wards in Europe and everything that's so negative and so bad. It's a terrible time in that regard. But Moses is undaunted in this crisis. The people attacking him, Pharaoh and the Egyptians with their formidable armies after him, and Moses seeking to lead these people out into the promised land. And what a challenge, what a job he had. But he was undaunted in this matter. And I suggest to you that he was undaunted because of the decisions that he had made and of his death to the self-life and his desire to live for the Lord. Go please to Hebrews chapter 11, and there's a beautiful commentary on this particular incident. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. How often you may have been like me, get down a very good commentary and look up a particular verse and there's nothing there. You were hoping for an answer or a particular verse and there was nothing there, or else they have given a compromising type of answer, a two-way thing, and that's no help either. But in Hebrews chapter 11, you've got a beautiful commentary on what made the difference to this man Moses. What made the difference? Why he was different? Why he could stand and seek to lead nearly a million people out of Egypt, where they had been for 430 years, slaves in Israel, in Egypt, Israeli slaves in Egypt. And what a terrible time it was, and even Pharaoh getting to the end of not providing the ingredients for them to put together to make bricks, and they were having to make bricks. And so we see that Moses was quite calm in this situation. And friends, it's because of the decisions that he had already made in his life, because of the commitments to the Lord that he had already made, because of his desire to leave Egypt, which speaks of the worldly condition and situation. We're going to refer to Egypt a number of times, but it is not because we don't like Egyptians. I almost got into trouble recently when I had to ask, well, how many Egyptians are here? And there were a few, so we had to be careful. But in the Bible, Egypt speaks of the world system, the ungodly world without God, without Christ. It's a religious type of situation, much like the New Age, with all of the things and all of the idolatry that they had, all of the strange worship and religion that they had, and their ungodliness and hardness against the true and living God. And we notice when we come to chapter 11 and verse 23, Moses is spoken of. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. His parents had a wonderful faith in God. Parents, trust in the Lord and commit your young ones to the Lord and rear them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But Moses' parents had faith in God. This is the thing about chapter 11. It points out the great faith in these men that God used. And you and I can enjoy in this New Testament era the same blessings of faith as we trust in the living God. That's how we were saved. By grace are you saved through faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith, the Lord tells us in his word. We are to be a people of faith. Moses' family was a family of faith. And we haven't got time to go into the amazing way in which Moses was protected in a time that Pharaoh was killing children his age. And how he went into a basket and the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, found him there, took mercy upon him and took him home and reared him in her home as her child. It's an amazing situation, but that's what God can do. Parents of faith that commit their young ones to the Lord to do great things for God because that he was a proper child. There was something about Moses right from the start when his parents looked upon him as a babe in arms. There was something about him. I've read of men of God who were thought of in a similar way back in the years gone by, and how they saw in their son something about them and committed them to be preachers for the Lord. And some powerful preachers came through where the parents saw this was a proper child and reared him for the Lord and set him forth in the gospel ministry. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Whoa, we ought not to be afraid of the king's commandment. Now, sometimes governments have to make some rules and have to bring in some regulations for the safety and sake of people, of the people. And we are told to respect those that are in authority and submit some of their rulings. And I'm sure the virus has spread because people have failed to listen to the good advice of professional health professionals telling them to isolate and keep the virus at home and bring it to an end in their healing. Anyway, that's another story. Verse 25. Here's the story then of Moses, chapter 24, sorry, of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What a choice he made. Life is made up of choices. Victorious Christian living is made up of choices. Sanctification is all about choosing God's way. Choosing for the Lord. Choices have to be made. And you and I are able to make those choices by the grace of God, especially if we've been redeemed. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have Christ living within us. And we can live by the faith of Christ in our lives and enjoy wonderful victory. But Moses, then, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is the great a rejection of power, authority, wealth, and many things, privilege. He decided against those things. And you might read about the Englishman, cricketer, and gentleman who decided against his wealth, against his inheritance, gave it for the Lord, and went out, C.T. Studd, cricketer and gentleman, who turned away from that. His family rejected him because he did that, but that was okay. He served the Lord. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Whilst I'm sure he appreciated all the blessings that he had enjoyed and the education he had gained, yet that was not his life. He was not an Egyptian. He was not part of that world system. And neither are you and I. We need to refuse to be part of the ungodly, worldly system, and with its sin and filth and all that is part of that ungodliness. We should refuse it and testify for the Lord. Then he made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses was at a young age. He was at an age where great temptations were placed in his way as a young person. And he decided against those temptations and to live in that way. We need to do the same, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to refuse the world's system. We need to be very careful with those telephones that we have in our pockets now, those little mini computers that are programmed and have every manner of filth and garbage imaginable just pouring down there daily. We need to be careful of that, and we need to refuse that sort of stuff that is coming down there that's getting young people addicted to pornography, drugs and other terrible things in life. We need to be careful of that. Refuse it. Choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Look, choose rather to walk with God and to be free from the entanglements of the world and all of those things that drag people down. Amen? Choose to be the Lord's child and to walk and to be like Christ. That's a great choice, isn't it? Suffer affliction. Yes, there are some trials and testings that come our way because we are the people of God, and when we refuse the things that the world pushes in our face, it's going to be a little suffering there. Or it may be that you'll end up in a country where they put you in a cage and make you suffer that way, as happened with the Japanese back in the war, end of the Japanese war, what they did to Christians, and what is happening at the moment to Christians around the world in certain places where they're not treated well. China is one of those places where they're not treated well. And we could go on. There's another sermon right there. But the sufferings, it's worth the sufferings to be one of the children of God and have the blessing of God upon our lives. Choosing rather. That's a choice. A choice to live for God. Choices like that need to be made every hour of the day, every moment of the day. Choosing for God. Choosing his way. All right, a little bit of suffering, a little bit of self-denial, but you'll get over it as you walk with God and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Esteeming, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. This might surprise you. Moses had an understanding of the Christ of God, and he chose rather to follow the Christ of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ. There is a certain reproach. If you say, I'm a Christian, I read the Bible, I go to church three times or five times a week, I talk about the Lord, I give a tithe and more. You tell people, whoa, you're one of those fanatics. Yes, but they're fanatical about something too, you find out. Oh, it doesn't take long. Find out what they're fanatic about and what we used to call bending the elbow, you know, another drink. They haven't got the Holy Spirit, so they're going for another spirit. That's the problem there. Okay, choosing rather to suffer the esteeming the reproach of Christ. And there is a reproach that went with our Lord. They crucified him. But really the reproach of Christ is better, and there is an eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, Moses was looking forward to heaven. Amen. He was looking forward to the wonderful entrance in the glorious place called heaven, where every believer will end up one way or another. Amen. If the virus doesn't get you, something else will. Amen. A dear friend passed away last Monday, and it was the kidneys. kidneys that went, but the Lord had a plan and took him home to glory. That's all right. So, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, looking forward to the recompense of the reward, heaven and the blessings of the reward of faithfully serving the Lord. Through faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is the protection of God as they instituted the Passover and the Lamb of the Passover, reminding us of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Moses believed in the coming Lord Jesus Christ, and Moses accepted the faithful writing of Jesus accepted the faithful writing of Moses in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Those are written and they are accurate, including the creation history. It's thoroughly accurate and reliable and answers the question. And the amazing thing is that you can have planet Earth hanging in space and you have to travel light years to get anywhere else, and there's nothing there either. All these trips into space and setting up places in these planets, they're going to have to take their own oxygen with them because there's none there. Or they're going to have to try and make it. Whoa, pity them if the oxygen breaks down. Why can't they just enjoy planet Earth, amen, and make the most of making planet Earth the place that it should be, that God would have it to be, amen? That's what it ought to be. So, here we have Moses then, undaunted when he faced the Red Sea. Look at that in verse 29. Through faith he passed through the Red Sea. When everybody was saying, Moses, Moses, what have you done? Brought us out here. The sea's there, the army of Pharaoh's there, and the desert's out there. And couldn't we have stayed back there? There were cemeteries back in Egypt. Oh yeah, pyramids and all that stuff. Amen. Very expensive. Very extremely expensive. Costs money to live and costs money to die. Well, we won't go there. Okay. But here's dear Moses then, undaunted by faith. He stood there when the people are crying out, when they're bitter criticizing him for leading them this way and all that went on. And then imagine that they're thinking that they would be better off back there, where there were slaves, where they were bearers of burden, where there was nothing, no future for them but suffering and loss. And also their God was hated by those Egyptians. They hated the true and living God. Pharaoh says when Moses goes to him and challenges him to let them go, and God begins to judge him, he says, I don't know your God. I don't know God. That God you're talking about means nothing to me. And so he hardened his heart against God's miracles. Imagine that. It's just hard to believe that these people wanting to go back to Egypt. Do you ever feel tempted and the tug in your life to go back to Egypt, or perhaps just to Egypt's ways, some sin or something else? And if you respond to those temptations and give in to them, you go back under bondage, the bondage of sin. And we have been set free from that through Christ. But here they were then, they were in a terrible condition. They'd lost sight of the living God and were just focusing on a bunch of Egyptians. And one of the writers said, well, they could see the dust that was being created by this Egyptian army and all these amazing chariots that were after them and threatening them. They could see that, and they focused on the world, they focused on Egypt, not the living God. Be careful. And all the media and all the rest of it going on at the moment, and all the gloom and doom, and certainly there's been economical ramifications of all of this, and things are not what they were. People are losing their work and all sorts of things. In a crisis like this, it's not time to forget God. It is time to cry out to the Lord God and to seek him in prayer. Now, when it says in verse 10, they cried to God, they were making so much noise in their prayers that they couldn't hear what God had to say. Be careful with prayer. Prayer is asking and receiving. In the midst of your prayer, stop for a moment, think about it, and pray wisely. And don't give God a geography lesson or a history lesson of what's going on. He already knows what's going on, but he wants to know what you're asking. Ask and you shall receive. What do you need? What do you want? What is needful? What is biblical in the will of God for this situation? And here these dear people were sore afraid. And they weren't listening to the living God. God, who had already done amazing things for them, those 10 miracles that God did are just absolutely amazing. And Moses had seen all of that. He'd gone to Pharaoh about it before it took place. And Pharaoh was not responding to God's moving. So much so, the things that God did, Pastor mentioned them in the prophecy message a few weeks ago. Water turned into blood. Egypt was the child of the Nile and worshipped the Nile. And it was turned into blood. Couldn't drink it. The miracle of frogs. Frogs lived in the environment and they were loosened to come through and annoy people and were found everywhere in the homes. How would you like that, ladies? A plague of frogs going through your kitchen in the morning. Amen? Oh, I don't think you'd be happy with that. But that's what happened. Silly Pharaoh, not letting the people go so they could do God's will, holding on to them. A plague of lice. Things get worse. A plague of lice. The power of this plague is in the fact that Egypt believed in ceremonial cleanliness, especially of their priesthood, in spotless white. So defilement by an unclean thing was to them a dip into hell, quoting Brother Hester. Plague of flies. A plague of flies. Now, we've noticed a few more flies out there at Blakeview than we're used to up in Newry. They've just up in that part of the world, they just about killed everything, including the flies. So anyway, but a plague of flies, how would you like that? I'm in a plague just coming in. A plague of Miriam, things get worse. The cattle are beset by this particular illness. It could be something like cancer striking these animals. And these were supposed to be sacred things, the cow to the Egyptians being struck by the Lord with a plague. Then there was a plague of boils. Certainly wouldn't want that. The Egyptian priests were physicians and there were ceremonies where medicines were used and so forth. And Moses sprinkled ashes toward heaven, grievous and incurable boils broke out on the bodies of the Egyptians. King, priest, magicians, all were afflicted. The plague of hail. And again, this is in God's hands, is it not? Plague of hail came down. And then there was a plague to follow up that of locusts. And as they went through, they ate everything and left the ground like a desert. And then there was the plague of darkness for 3 days, where darkness came over the land. And every time Moses went, Pharaoh let them go. Pharaoh had no way am I going to let them do God's will. Then there was indeed the death of the firstborn, and they were struck down dead. Then Moses instituted the Passover, and the blood of the lamb was placed on the lintel and so forth of the doors. So Moses saw all this happening. Pharaoh saw it all happening, but was unwilling. Now, in the meantime, Pharaoh offered Moses a few compromises. He offered him a few compromises. Now, in this day and age, and this is one reason why Moses was strong, because he did not submit to these compromises. And Pharaoh says, well, you can worship God if you must, but just let there be a little separation. Don't go very far out into the desert to worship. Don't get too carried away. Don't go very far away. Leave the women and children behind. Leave the herds and flocks and so forth. Ridiculous stuff. Compromise. Compromise is a terrible thing. Moses passed the test of compromise. The test of compromise. You will be the test of compromise will be put before you all the time. Moses' contest with Pharaoh was a classic example of a progressive temptation to compromise. Progressive temptation to compromise. Quoting J.O. Sanders here, a great missionary to China, and he said that we will be challenged to compromise, reach agreements. It's always a backward step when we consent to lower standards, and this will involve compromise. Moses' contest with Pharaoh was a classic example of progressive temptation to compromise. Been there? Worship God if you will, but don't leave Egypt to do it. Let's worship among us and stay in the Egyptian lifestyle. It's going to be okay. Sound like modern Christianity? Sure does. Just enjoy the lifestyle and communicate through the lifestyle. Yeah. And get the guy from the Adelaide guy to see what the lifestyle's done to him. Guy. He's all covered tattoos and just looks a total wreck. We won't go there anymore. I'll be in strife. So, worship God if you will. Don't neglect your religion, but there's no need to be narrow and make a complete break with the world. And he suggested, if you must go out of Egypt to worship. Don't go very far. Religion is good, but you are not called on to be fanatical about it. Test number three, temptation number three, the test of natural affection. Let the men go, but leave the women and children behind. If you must go, then don't be extreme about it. Don't interfere with the worldly advancement of your family by making them conform to the outward standards. In other words, just leave your family settled. It's okay. Yeah, and we'll make slaves out of them now. When those kids grow up, we've got more slave trade. Cheap labour. Be careful. And the last attempt was, well, just let your flocks and herds be stayed. Let them stay. Keep your business interests here in the country settled. Don't upset them. Compromise. They would have had nothing to sacrifice to the Lord when they went out. They were called upon to go out and to worship God and to sacrifice unto the Lord. If they were to leave everything behind, they would have nothing to sacrifice. Some people are critical of the fact that they went around and asked the Egyptians for the jewellery and so forth that was rightfully theirs. And some think that they stole the jewellery from the Egyptians. No, the Egyptians were looking favourably upon them as a people and gave them the jewellery and other things that helped them establish in their new country, in their new life, and really caused the Jews to become the most wealthy nation in the world. They were rightful in asking for their wages and things that had been denied and stolen from them. They ripped everything off them when they moved into Egypt, and drained them dry and made the men work hard, and also continued to put forward ungodly stuff. Moses was undaunted because he had faced the compromises of life and he had said no. Now hold on a minute. Ah, you can't say no to the kids. You can't say no to them. You say, oh, now look, don't you think it would be better to do this and that and the other? You can't say no. Why not? Huh? They need to learn what no means at a young age. Otherwise, they're likely to get electrified in one of those electric plugs. You see them go for an electric plug? No. They've got to learn the meaning of no. And in life, the no's will save them from a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. The young ones need to learn that. They need to learn the no's in life. So Moses was undaunted by their request to go back to Egypt, to go back under the Egyptians. That was foolishness. What were they thinking? That it was going to be better for them back under the Egyptians? After they had tried to escape like this, what do you think the Egyptians would be doing to them? Making their life even more miserable if they went back. You can't go back to the world. There is nothing for you in the world. And maybe if you're listening to my voice over electronic media, and you one time walk with God, but now you've gone out into the world, there's nothing there for you. They'll rip you off and you'll end up in misery and without the blessing of God. Nothing could be worse than not to have the blessing of God. Nothing could be worse than to have all the trappings of wealth that the world offers and yet not have the blessing and not have the protection of God upon you and your family. The Lord shall fight for you. They were told to be still. And I would say to you, in the midst of this COVID, in the midst of this crisis, which is worldwide and big of a deal, it is big of a deal. You're facing a killer. My own daughter said, Dad, are you sure you want to move to South Australia at this time? If you get this COVID, that'll be the end of it. So I said, well, goodbye, honey. I'll say goodbye now. He's in Queensland, you know. And if that's, but the Lord has a purpose and a will, and he's protected us, hasn't he? And he's been good. And he's been good to South Australia. Be thankful for that. He's been good, and learn to walk with him. Be still and know that I am God. Have your quiet times daily. Listen to him. Turn off that media. Tells you how many people died, how many people, oh dear, you know, how many people went across the border in the boot of a car. Oh, come on. It's crazy out there, you know. It's crazy out there, and you don't want to fill your mind with that sort of negativity. Salvation is of God. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And that's why we should be praying for these dear folk, as I prayed this morning for dear folk that are on the brink of eternity, many of them old people on the brink of eternity. And it's a terrible thing that the Victorians were not carrying those old people into emergency care, but leaving them in their nursing home. Oh, it's a harsh world out there. I don't care how old somebody is, they're a worthy recipient of the best medical care that we can give, amen? And we ought not just to leave them, oh, they're old, they're costly, you know, the old people cost a lot of money to look after and keep alive. Oh, what an attitude. That's the Egyptian attitude coming in, the philosophies that there are that have been recorded down and put down in hospital routines and philosophies of practice. If you're over, I don't know what the age is, if you're over 68 or 70, it became prevalent in the thinking of health professionals that don't revive them. Don't revive them. Because if you revive an old fogey like that, they're going to cost us money. So let them go. You know, the attitude. It's life is cheap. That's the problem with that, is the attitude towards life and living people. And that is a terrible attitude, isn't it? Moses withstood that sort of attitude, why he did not want to stay in Egypt and why these people would have been better off. You can't do a U-turn. No U-turns in Sydney. The signs are up everywhere. No U-turns, no U-turns, no U-turns. That's why I like Brisbane. U-turn permitted. The U-turn of conversion, amen. Turn around and get your life right. But a friend of mine was trying to tell an American preacher why there's no U-turns in Sydney. Oh, he was going on and on. And I said, well, there's U-turns in every major city I've been in around the world, you know. No U-turns in Sydney. There are no U-turns in the Christian life if it means you're going back to Egypt. Don't take a U-turn and go back. All right, they're in a cul-de-sac. They're in a dangerous situation. But I like what Moses said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. God was about to do something for them if they would only listen to him and respond, which, praise God, most of them did. Lord shall fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. We're in a spiritual battle. The battle is the Lord's. Trust him. Trust him in the battle. And trust him. The Lord will fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Keep quiet. Now, whilst prayer is great and we should be praying, there are times when we need to stop and be quiet and listen to what God is saying and to visualize by faith, to see by faith, the eye of faith, what God can do in the midst of the situation. And then I like verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? The Lord said, Moses, you're crying out a bit too much as well. Now just stop. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. My little granddaughter comes to mind at this point. Every time she's in the car and sees the lights, green, go, green, go. Red light comes up. Red, go. Had to teach her, no, red means stop. No, red means go, go. Because she likes constant action and going. That's how we ought to be in the Christian life. Let's go forward. North side, go forward. Amen. Keep going forward. Do what you're doing and keep praying. Keep looking to the Lord for great things. He will bless you. He's blessing you now and reviving you. Keep trusting him and going forward. There are great days ahead. And that's what God was trying to say to the people there. And Moses lifted up his rod, stretched it over the water in the midst of the sea, and the waters opened, they went through. God is able to open the waters and make a way through. The Lord Jesus settled the storm. He walked on water and Peter walked on water while he kept his eyes on the Lord. So it was, this great miracle took place. Archaeologists have found different chariot wheels along in that Red Sea. There's a great controversy about exactly where this is geographically. The topography's changed a bit from those days. But certainly I believe in this miracle of the Old Testament. It was not the reedy seas, heavy reeds that they just tiptoed over the top of. And Pharaoh was drowned in 3 inches of water. It's crazy, these liberals. That's liberal theology for you, that will not believe, refuse to believe the word of God, but expect that we believe their fanciful ideas. It's ridiculous, you know. But the Lord did amazing work here. And then look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, as my old preacher used to say, and they didn't even get their socks wet. But they went in on dry ground and they went through. And yes, the Lord used the wind to do this. God is in control of the elements and he can work. It's not discounting the miracle, because God used the wind, but the miracle of it, he used it at a particular time, protected the children of Israel, took them through and made a separation between them and Egypt. Something to think about. Egypt came down into the sea, they went up out of the sea, there was a separation. There's a good principle there to learn. Separation between us and the world. Separation unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. We are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to know the blessings of the Lord. Look at verse number 30. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Those Egyptians that they were focusing on and that they were so worried about and feeling so down and all the rest of it and so forth, they saw them no more. They didn't have anything to do with them. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, friends. Separate between yourself and Egypt, in the world but not of it. We must function in this crazy world. We are here to seek souls and to live for the Lord and do the Lord's work and to rear our families and so on in the things of God. Israel saw a great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They came through. They were now going to believe Moses and follow Moses and go forward following the man of God who was hearing from God and leading them in the will of God. They went forward with their servant Moses, and Moses led them. Till they got out into the wilderness where it was tough and there wasn't much water. And we find the murmurings of the people against Moses, a real prevalent problem, friends. In good churches at the moment, the men of God are having a rough time. Good men are having a rough time because people want to bring in the Egyptian ways. They want to bring in the drum set and so forth. We purchased a building in Bundaberg. And when I went in to look at it, I said, what in the world is that plastic box doing up on the platform with a door in it and so forth? I don't know where they got the air from for that thing. But they said, oh, that's where we put the drum set. It's too loud, so we put it in that plastic box. Egyptian ways, amen? Yeah, what a crazy thing to do, to bring in the drum set, bring in the guitars, bring in the, paint the building black, bring in the lights, bring in the disco scene, bring it all in, Egyptian ways. People wanting to bring Egyptian ways into the Lord's house. It doesn't work, friends. It doesn't work. A dear friend was telling us that she was going to a church and she said, oh, they started singing all the choruses to get the young people in. And you know, they were trying to build up the church. And we said, well, what happened? She said, well, no young people came and all the old ones left. Said it was so noisy, so ridiculous. They all left, you know, and they were singing the, 24 words, 7 times, 24 7 songs. 24 words seven times over. Ridiculous. No, they call it praising the Lord. It's not praising the Lord, friends. Needs to be audible, intelligent, and understandable. That's praising the Lord when it comes from the heart and you know what you're saying to the Lord. Notice as we close then in chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Thank God for a singing pastor. Your pastor launched into a bit of music today. But thank God for good song leading pastors that lead and sing unto the Lord. Notice what it says in 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. They spoke, saying, in their language, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Oh, Moses knew the Lord, and he lifted up the Lord in song and thanksgiving. And the Lord blessed him and the people as they rejoiced in what God had done. The news of this spread to the nations round about, and Israel travelled on freely without the attacks of those enemy nations for a long time, because they'd heard what the Lord had done. The Lord had fought for them. The Lord had protected them. And then Miriam answered, saying, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Oh, God's victory in that situation of crisis. Let's look to the Lord for the victory. Let's look to the Lord for the reviving of his saints, for the coming back together again of the work of God, as things are re-established back into the normal patterns. And as we learn to walk with God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, how we need to go forward on faith and trust the Lord and move forward. Don't go back into Egypt. There's nothing for you in Egypt. Be careful of decisions that you make. Evaluate them. Is there an Egyptian trap involved in this? I've seen it over the years. Good families going off in different directions, only to later on find the children totally wiped out and totally bitter. Oh, how we need to be careful of our decisions and how we need to go forward by faith. Go forward. Keep going. Go by faith, and the Lord will bless you as you seek to be obedient to his word and see great things from the hand of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for this crisis situation and for your glorious intervention and how this is so. Over the years, you have intervened on behalf of your children in the most difficult and terrible crises of life. And some of the worst things that could ever happen to anybody, you have kept your children, led them through, and taken them out into victory. And we pray, Lord, for that blessing upon us as we seek to go forward for you. We pray you bless this closing of this service. And, Lord, that there would be some decisions for you. Maybe you need to make some choices, Christian, tonight in your life. Is the world drawing you back and away? Are there temptations to compromise? There are other things that Satan is trying to bring before you and to draw you away. Maybe tonight you need to rededicate, recommit, be still and know that God is in the situation, and commit yourself to walking forward in the will of God. Is anyone like that tonight? You need to adopt that philosophy Go for the Lord. Go for souls. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, help us as your children to respond. Let's everybody stand, please, and turn to our songbooks as we